Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, March the 15th. Hope you're okay. Our top story today is that there are calls for more CCTV and better lighting in parts of Gillingham following a spate of attacks. Now, in the past 6 days alone, a teenager has been stabbed in the High Street, a man hit with a brick also in the town centre, and two people threatened, beaten and robbed on the Great Lines. Local councillor Nushaba Khan has been speaking to our reporter Vanessa Harris.
Of course, it's something of great concern to the councillors that represent the area, but also the wider community. And it's something that's been mentioned to us several times. We are working closely with the police and with the council to find longer term solutions to improve safety across Gillingham, because we recognise there are problems there. And there are obviously some immediate actions that need to be taken. But in the longer term, safety, better lighting, CCTV, and generally investment in Gillingham is desperately needed. And as a Gillingham councillor, I know that my colleagues and I, that's something we're calling for all the time.
How can we get, you know, better CCTV or increase in CCTV and lighting in the streets of Great Lines?
So in that area of Gillingham, both in the Great Lines, which for those who have walked down there will know it's quite dimly lit, and sort of takes you, as you walk through it, takes you away from the main street area, as well as in parts of the High Street, there's absolutely a need for us to look at how we can make it more friendly for the community. I think lighting is one way to do that, as well as potentially looking at if CCTV is an option. The way to do that is, of course, to be working closely with the police, but also the council, to see what options and opportunities are there, and whether that can be something that we can look to introduce, as well as the wider community to see, will that work and what would they like to see in that part of Gillingham. There isn't an easy solution to this, and of course it all requires money, but it is something that I'm really keen to make sure happens, because we do need to make Gillingham both look and feel safer, and it needs to be somewhere where people feel happy and comfortable walking whatever time of day.
Is there anything that you've seen the police have done, or is there anything more that we can do as a community or the police can do to ensure there's better safety in the Great Lines?
Whenever there is an incident of this nature, the police are always our first point of call, to discuss what the options are. And yes, they've always been helpful and supportive in terms of listening to councillors and working together. However, I'm also really aware that they have restrictions on the resources. That's something that's happened over the last decade. We don't have the same level of policing that we used to, and that is creating an impact across Medway, and certainly Gillingham is one of the areas that sees that the most. We've generally seen a feeling that crimes aren't dealt with as quickly as we would like them to. So there is an ongoing issue there that we do need to resolve. In the longer term, I think this is about cross-agency working, and the council and the police, as well as other organisations, need to be working closely together to find these solutions. The one thing I'm very aware of that as Medway Labour, we've talked a lot about, is if we were to be running the council, we would look to have a community warden in each ward and in each high street. So that, sorry, not in each ward, but in each high street, so that there is that support available, and there is that feeling that someone is there and present should an incident occur, and to hopefully minimise the risk of antisocial behaviour. But it does require a cross-agency approach, and that's something that, as a local councillor, with my colleagues, we've been calling on for some time. It doesn't just sit with one agency.
What does the future for Great Lines look like?
Well, firstly, I just want to say I think the Great Lines is a great space. I love having it in Gillingham. I think it's a great place for families. It's used for lots and lots of community events. So I don't want people to start to think that it's this really unsafe area. However, when it is dark, it is dimly and poorly lit. And I think there is the need to look at how we can do to improve safety there. It's something that, as a local councillor, I would certainly be championing, that I want us to take forward towards the council and via the council and through other agencies. So it's something I'm not going to give up on and carry on calling for, but we just need the funding and the investment to allow us to do that. So I hope people are listening that are those decision makers and can enable us to make it safer throughout the day and throughout the night so that people do not have to change their behaviours if they want to use the Great Lines.
At Kent Online today, you can see a map of where the attacks have happened. Two teenagers charged over the stabbing, which left the teenager in a serious condition in hospital, have appeared in court and been remanded in custody.
Kent Online News.
Some more crime news for you, and a man's been charged with attempted murder after three people were attacked at a house in Swanley. One woman was stabbed, another suffered a head injury, and a boy was treated for a cut to his hand after it happened near Bonnie Way. A 61-year-old from Sidcup who's known to the victims has been remanded in custody after appearing in court. Elsewhere, a man's been charged after a woman was attacked and had her car stolen in Deal. We're told she suffered bruises but didn't need to go to hospital after it happened in Alfred Square on Monday. A 37-year-old was arrested yesterday and is due in court. And a man's been arrested after another man was attacked in Swanscombe. The victim was taken to hospital with a head injury after the car he was in was damaged with a hammer close to Broomfield Park. A 21-year-old from the town who knows the victim is being questioned. More than 300 academic experts on migration have signed a letter criticising the government's new asylum bill. The Prime Minister and Home Secretary want to ban people who arrive on small boats from making a claim to stay here. But scholars say it won't stop refugees making the dangerous journey to Kent across the Channel. They even suggest it could break human rights laws. Now, some teachers in Kent are back out on strike today on what's being called a National Day of Action. They're among several groups who are staging industrial action on the day of the budget. Staff in schools who are members of the National Education Union are walking out over pay and conditions and say recruitment is at crisis levels. Well, I've been speaking to John Still, who's a secondary school teacher in Medway.
I'm not hearing enough from the government that they're going to, you know, sit down and negotiate this. I do feel that they're quite happy for the rhetoric to be that schools are responsible, teachers are responsible for the strike. It doesn't really work that way. The strike is because of a breakdown in communications, and the government are playing their part in there being a strike.
And tell me, John, why are you walking out? Why have you decided to take this action?
The reason for striking is certainly beyond pay and even beyond conditions. I mean, as a parent myself, I am concerned about the future of my own children, their education, and it's highly likely that they will be taught in oversized classes by teachers that don't have subject specialism. Because when conditions and pay are what they are, there's a recruitment crisis and teachers are leaving the profession within the first 5 years. And it's too simple to say, well, you know, if you don't like it, leave the profession. People are doing that and they're not being replaced. So this really is a question of the quality of education that our children to be given. That's my reason for striking.
Have you ever been tempted to leave the profession? You're obviously, this is what you want to do. This is clearly what you love doing. But has it got to that point for you where you've thought, you know what, perhaps it is time to do something else?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it really, in real terms, it doesn't make sense, does it, to be in a profession that has taken a pay cut gradually over the last 7 years. It doesn't make sense to be in a profession that is, you know, more or less 60 hours a week, more unpaid hours than any other profession. I wouldn't know how difficult other professions are. I wouldn't like to say, but yeah, absolutely it is. My concern about leaving is, what would I be replaced with? You know, the teachers are leaving all the time. Who would replace me in my English classroom? Probably not a subject specialist. And I think that's what keeps most teachers in place. But of course, there's a limit.
And you said how concerned you are for your children growing up and going to secondary school. That must put you in a really difficult position, because you want to do the best for the children you're teaching, but you want to do the best for your children as well, who are growing up.
Yeah, and that's why I'm striking, you know, because I want that statement to be out there. It doesn't really get in the media consciousness enough, because the idea of pay conditions take priority in the headlines. But this should be a real concern for people. No teachers, no education. It's that's the logic.
And let's hear now from Schools Minister Nick Gibb.
The government wrote to unions, the National Education Union, the nursing unions, on the 21st of February, offering very serious negotiations about pay, about all the other issues that are of concern to teachers and to nurses. The only condition was that they pause the strikes. The nursing unions, they did agree to that condition, and those negotiations have been happening over the last 3 weeks. Very serious discussions with the government about all the issues of concern to nurses. But the National Education Union refused to pause their strikes, and that's why we are where we are. But we have kept open that offer. If they pause strikes, if they pause the strike today, they pause the strike tomorrow, we can have those very serious discussions, and we want to have them, we're ready to have them. And it's the National Education Union, for whatever reason, has decided not to accept that condition.
What's on the table in the negotiations you're prepared to have? What is blocking them from coming to the table, in your view?
All that's blocking those serious negotiations is the decision by the National Education Union to refuse to pause strikes. We made the same offer to the nurses, and they did agree to pause their strike, and that's why they've been having very serious negotiations about pay and about all those other issues that are of concern to nurses. Right now they're having those discussions. But we could be having those talks about pay, about teacher workload, about recruitment and retention. That's what we want to talk about. But the National Education Union, if they want to show good faith in those negotiations, they need to pause a strike action. And it's strike action. It's no way to conduct a pay dispute. It inconveniences parents and families, and it's disrupting children's education after 2 years of having their education disrupted during the pandemic.
And after this week's strikes are over, would that offer still be there to get around the table with the unions?
Well, look, our focus right now is to encourage the National Education Union to pause these strikes over these next few days and to get around the table to talk about pay, to talk about all those issues that are of concern.
So what do you think about the ongoing teachers' strike? We'd like to know your thoughts. You can message us today via our socials. And teachers aren't the only ones out on strike. Junior doctors in Kent have walked out for a third day. Border Force staff are also staging industrial action along with members of the University and College Union. And if you've been travelling to London, you may have noticed there was disruption on the Underground as train drivers walked out. And as I mentioned earlier, all of this action has been happening on the same day Chancellor Jeremy Hunt delivered his budget. You can head to Kent Online for details on what was announced in full, and we'll have reaction in tomorrow's episode.
Kent Online reports.
Tributes have been paid to a Medway doctor following his sudden death. Dr. Conor O'Loughlin worked at Woodlands Family Practice in Gillingham and passed away on Friday. Patients have been posting messages on socials saying he always went the extra mile, even delivering medicines during lockdown. A Dartford man says he's prepared to go to court in a bid to fight a £100 parking fine. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. Lawrence Carney has already spent 9 months trying to fight the ticket that claims he left his car at a retail park for 23 hours. Now, he insists he was only there for half an hour, but visited again the next day and believes the cameras didn't catch him leaving for the first time. The bosses of three of the best restaurants in Kent say they've had to cut spending and have even changed their menus to cope with the cost of living crisis. They're all in the Michelin Guide and have spoken out after the sudden closure of Mark Sargent's The Brasserie MS in Folkestone after just 6 months. Owners of The Plough, Rock Salt and Hyde and Fox say the current financial climate has affected revenue. You can read that report in full by Max Chesson by heading to Kent Online. And whilst you're on the site today, you can see pictures of, would you believe, 80 tyres that have been dumped on a driveway near Canterbury. A couple came home to find the fly-tipped rubbish at their home in Upper Harbledown and say they now face a big bill to get rid of it. The council say they will be doing an investigation, including checking nearby CCTV. Well, Hugh Cunningham and his wife Diane have been speaking to our reporter Millie Bowles.
Both angry and astonished.
And upset. It just thought, how could someone do that? You know, how degrading of the environment.
And do you feel it's sort of, you know, a blemish on your house and your land as you've had?
Oh,
this
definitely. Time? Yes. Yeah.
They've got to be moved.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Mm. And do you ever need to use this gate? So is it
yes.
It limits the access?
Oh yeah, no, yes. The drive goes right round, and so yes, yes.
So is it a massive, like, I guess you said nuisance on the phone?
It's a huge inconvenience. Yeah, yeah. No, it is.
And what would you sort of say to the person that's, you know, done this, if you could say something to them?
Don't ever do it again, I think.
Don't do it to anybody else. Please don't go to anybody else. Mm. It's upsetting and it's very annoying and it's very expensive to remove. And and it's a real hassle.
Definitely. And what do you think of sort of fly tipping in general? Is it a problem around here, would you say?
Yes, it's terrible along the roads.
You see a lot of it in the area.
Yes.
Yeah, unbelievable how much is thrown out.
And of different kinds. I mean, there's the refrigerators and, you know, building stuff and what have you, that gets down, sort of down slopes and what have you. But there's also just the people who've got Costa cups and bags, and obviously just chuck them out the windows as they go along. And you think, oh, take them home.
And were you really shocked at the amount of tyres that were done?
Absolutely. Incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite astonishing. And I think whoever did it either had a very big vehicle or did more than one trip.
Yes.
I think
yes.
That's right.
I think it may have been two trips.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there must have been two people. It must have taken quite some time, chucking all these over.
Kent Online reports.
A Brexit-themed Banksy in Dover that was mysteriously whitewashed overnight could be recreated. A mural featuring the EU flag was painted over in 2019, and there are now plans to demolish the entire building. But the council say they've hired art specialists to scan and preserve the piece in the hope of recreating it digitally or physically in the future. A 14-year-old boy from Herne Bay has won the award for Young Handler of the Year at Dog Show Crufts. Morgan Tate Shoesmith took his poodle Cuba into the ring earlier this week. Judges have praised their skill and teamwork. Peter Andre, Blazing Squad and Nadine from Girls Aloud are going to be performing in Kent this summer. They'll all be at Revival in the Park at Moat Park in Maidstone. It's happening over 2 days in July. And thousands of school children in Kent have been learning how to sign as part of a week of events to celebrate language used by the deaf community. They've been doing an online lesson in BSL. You might remember Kate's Rose Ailing Ellis campaigned for it to be a recognised language after winning Strictly.
Kent Online Sport.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out in the fourth round of the Indian Wells Masters. The 20-year-old from Orpington was beaten by world number one Iga Świątek in straight sets. Fellow Brit Cameron Norrie is safely through to the quarterfinals. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. You can also get an update of the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. And to do that, you just need to sign up by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.